Marshall's okay with him simmering in a cell for a while. I'll soften him up. He's not a soldier. He'll break quick. The list we had, the possible moles. Whoever shows up at therapy, maybe give them a go. See what happens. Mary shrugged. You show enough trust, he might show you his hand.
That's a good idea. I'll talk to Marshall.
Dylan rose.
I'll be right back. I need to go grab some clothes for you.
Mary let the silence tick by a few beats before expending a weary breath and closing her eyes. The events she'd blocked out from yesterday struck her brain, a battering ram she couldn't ignore any longer. While she wanted to believe she was okay, a part of her clearly wasn't. Taking a step back made sense, as much as it pained her to admit. Martin Driggs and whoever he worked for weren't going to beat her. They might have won the first skirmish, but she'd win the war with Dylan's help.
Keep a close eye on her. She'll likely put on a facade. Come across how she thinks we'll expect her to be. Strong and functional. I think she's both, but she's got a long road ahead of her.
Logan commented.
I'll let Doc Parsons know she's awake. Feel free to take her back to the barracks as soon as you want.
Dylan Mason, I know you aren't taking that precious girl and sticking her in that cesspit of a room. We have perfectly good bedrooms at the main house.
They aren't secure, Mom.
Then maybe you boys need to get busy and get some decent secured housing around here. If you're going to have more employees and they want to live on site, they'll likely want more than a bed and a dresser.
Dylan doubted it, but it merited a discussion with the others. Cooking his own meals and having a place to veg on a sofa without a score of others around would be nice, he admitted. Right now, all he cared about was Mary.
She seemed okay, like she was before. Do you think there'll be another episode?
It's hard to say. Involving her in routine arsenal matters is a good idea. Let her organize your back office stuff and get everything the way she and Vi would prefer. Busy work to keep her checked in, but away from any triggers. Based on the emphatic need for closure she's demonstrating, observation of Driggs' questioning might be okay. But I'd like to consult Parsons first.
Logan said,
Let me know. Marshall wants him questioned in the morning.
Dylan watched the doctor walk down the hall and took a bracing breath for the whirlwind of a mother waiting patiently for his attention. She wasn't going away. She'd had 6 sons and a hellion daughter. She knew all about waiting thunderstorms out.
Thanks for sitting with her,
he muttered.
She's strong. She'll be okay.
She stroked his face as he looked down into her gentle gaze.
She's a wonderful woman.
Don't go and book the chapel yet. We need time. I don't know what we want long term, but she's important. I don't want her scared off by wedding gown talk.
His mom smiled.
You're more and more like your father every day. You all are. He'd be so proud of what you're doing here.
We've ignored what mattered most, though. Riley concerns me, Mom. Have you spoken with her?
His mom's lips thinned, moisture pooled in her gaze.
You get my baby smiling again, son. She's carrying a town of trouble on her shoulders. It's more than that sweet Rochelle. I rarely go there, but all of Marville is just as skittish, terrified of their own shadows. They'd sooner cut off their own hand than shake yours. It's not right, son.
Marville was a cesspit of a town 15 miles down the road. People in Rosino tended to pretend it didn't exist, and many Marville residents wished it didn't. Sadly, it was in a different county, and the sheriff there, didn't take too kindly to anyone with the last name Mason.
We'll handle it, Mom.
He leaned down and kissed her cheek.
You go. Get some rest. I love you.
Marshall and Nolan wandered up. Mom gave them both a squeeze and kiss, then headed out. Dylan expended a weary breath.
With Driggs in custody, we have a chance to use him to our advantage. Mary suggested we bring Wells and the others we've identified in to help with him. See how they react.
It's a good idea. I'll get Dallas on Wells.
Marshall responded.
How's our girl?
Okay, strong. Fuck, man. She's so strong. She doesn't want to be sidelined, says she needs the closure. I'm going to have her help me with whatever's bothering Riley. The Rochelle situation. Mom said it's all of Marvel.
He settled his hands on his hips and looked around.
You need help? Let us know. We're going on. Business as usual. Whoever's pulling the strings needs to see we think we have our main man.
Nolan said.
Rhea and Bree are secure. They aren't leaving, are they?
No, not anytime soon. If I have my way, there'll be a permanent place for them here. They're in their heads too much to be unsecured and away from Vi and Mary. I've offered them both space in the bottom level for whatever labs or whatnot they use. They said we'd have to clear it with your girl. Apparently, she is their managing agent and handles their grant monies.
Grants?
Dylan asked.
Interesting.
He smirked at his brothers as they headed out. Mary got up from the bed and angled for the bag slung over his shoulder. He kissed her sexy mouth to get her attention.
Marshall offered space to Rhea and Bree for labs, so they'd stay here at the compound on a more permanent basis. They both said they'd have to get it cleared with you. You're their managing agent? Grant monies? Who's funding them?
Oh, right. Mary sucked her lower lip into her mouth and unzipped the bag he settled on the bed.
Mary, who's funding them? Now that I think about it, all this research and the tech and equipment, that's a lot of money.
She averted her gaze, then sighed and peered up at him.
Okay, I'll tell you, but hear me out before you say anything. Promise?
Dylan didn't respond. He crossed his arms and waited.
Vi and I started Hera a while back. The programming didn't cost much more than our spare time. The tech components and monetary problems crept up when we brought Bree and Rhea into the fold. They had brilliant ideas, but unlike our stuff, theirs needed money.
Mary, where does the money come from?
Dylan asked patiently.
We first used Hera to troll the dark web, track down the pervs and monsters luring victims in. This is more Vi's realm than mine, but the gist of it is that we've found treasure chests. Money in ghosted accounts belonging to arms and drug dealers and sex traffickers and...
She glanced at him. Fire danced in her eyes as her spine straightened and her voice firmed.
We take it. Every cent we come across. We identify it as dirty by figuring out where it came from. If the source was legit and was scammed out of their life savings, the money miraculously gets returned. With interest.
But the bulk of it wasn't a clean source.
He gasped.
No, far from it. When Addie figured out what we were doing, she and Peter threw in. Hive ran across dirty monies all the time. Peter's policy was to turn it over to the spook alphabet, but Driggs always wanted to keep it in rainy day accounts, funds he'd manage for our benefit. Obviously, that's where we should have seen what he was really up to.
Those are the funds you took after Peter died.
Vi mentions something about reallocating overhead accounts to where Driggs can't get them.
We cut off his money supply. The idiot probably doesn't even know. We left him a couple million in the stateside account he had siphoned Hive money into. One of the last things Vi and I did before I was taken was close down the other accounts he thought he'd hidden away. Drug money laundered through Third World Associates of Hive, mostly.
And you'll add that to the other kitty you've got for Bree and Rhea?
No, that's not ours. That's Addie's. When the dust settles, she still owns half of Hive. I have no idea what she intends to do with what survives the cleansing Vi and I are doing. Honestly, she'll probably have to scrap it all and restart. That money gives her a chance.
Marshall wants her here. So do I.
Tension coiled in Mary.
That's good. She's a great asset. I'm sure Bree and Rhea will appreciate safe labs and secured work conditions.
You know, you're all a package deal, right? You and Vi are already Arsenal as far as me and my brothers are concerned.
I thought that was just until this mess is gone.
No, we're not about to let the Quillery Edge walk away. Think on it, sweetheart. Talk to Vi. You two will have full control of back office operations. Your circus, your monkeys.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Chapter 19. The day after Mary left the Arsenal hospital bed for the second time was one of the best in her life. Dylan managed the impossible and kept everyone at bay. It was just her and Dylan all day. They rode around the ranch, and she got to whisper to Peanut and feed her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches under the pecan tree. They laughed and chased one another with squirt guns. She lost, but it was the most fun she'd ever had losing. But playtime was over. The afternoon sun hung low in the sky, casting pale promises of its return in the morning. Promises. They urged her here, where she didn't want to be. Group therapy. Logan kept Dr. Parsons from knocking on her door somehow. Dylan probably helped. Either way, the day away from operations and from doctors and the confining building was more of a meaningful therapy session than she would have gotten otherwise. Mary understood what everyone had been saying. For once, she took deep lungs full of clean air in and understood how stifled she'd been. Today, no one had relied on her. She'd held no one's future in her hands. The world hadn't ended because she wasn't there at a computer waiting for the next demon to crawl from hell. She'd turned Edge off, and it was okay. She was okay. She glanced at her watch and realized Dylan's meeting with Marshall must have gone a bit longer than expected. She took another deep breath and pushed the double doors leading into the mess hall open. The dining area used by the Warriors Path soldiers and Arsenal operatives remained open 24/7, 365 days, except for therapy sessions. The new rule was one Dr. Parsons enacted with Nolan's blessing. All Dylan's brothers were quite vocal about their support for the new therapy session being offered. Apparently, visiting a head shrink was synonymous with betraying your country for most of the men at the compound. But do it in a group, as a team, and it wasn't a problem. It was a mission, a debriefing. Mary admitted the approach Dr. Parsons was using wasn't what she would have expected. The woman sat at the front of a large semicircle of mostly empty chairs. Three more circles were behind that one, a bit optimistic if Mary was being honest. A couple of small speakers were on the floor. A mic sat on the floor beside the woman.
Who'd opted for jeans and an army t-shirt rather than the typical skirt and blouse attire she'd chosen so far? She smiled at Mary as she entered. Mary was too focused on the room's other few inhabitants. Mark Wells. Okay. She'd expected as much. She didn't recognize the others. Vi ran most of the new Warriors Path entrance. Mary should have at least glanced at their files. Summoning the confidence and strength she relied on as Edge, she walked into the room and took a seat near the front and center. Dylan would sit beside her once he arrived. As usual, she was a few minutes early. This was important to him. Evidence she was ready to heal and move on, acclimate to her new life, one she'd live more as Mary and less as Edge. She'd finally understood him yesterday. There were two different personas within her. It was her duty to merge them, become both, and enjoy living. She was more than her job. For now, she accepted the statement. Later, when the darkness seeped in, she wouldn't. It was a cycle, a blender of emotions she couldn't control. But that's why she was here.
Hey.
Dylan leaned in and kissed her cheek as he sat down.
Sorry, the meeting ran late.
I was early, she whispered as she glanced around and noted more people filing in, more than she'd expected.
Did you drag them all in? No, we had a briefing and Jesse mentioned he was attending, sitting beside Edge and supporting her. I guess things sort of happened from there.
Dylan smiled. Mary blinked, shocked by the statement. Someone squeezed her shoulder. Jesse smiled when she turned to face him.
Hey, Edge.
She wanted to hug him hard. She danced in her seat a few seconds. Fuck it. She swooped in, dragging him in for a firm, warm hug. He sighed into the contact and squeezed back.
You okay, honey?
He asked. Probably not, but I will be. You?
I will be.
He smiled gently.
Gotta admit, I didn't have the guts to walk in here until I heard you were here. I figured what you went through, if you could walk into a room and sit down with strangers to do whatever we're doing here, I could do the same.
Dylan held her hand as Dr. Parsons stood and introduced herself. Then the session started. Mary wasn't certain what she'd expected. The head shrink was leaving this first time open-ended, meaning people could chat about whatever they wanted for however long. A few of the people who'd been there before started the flow. A few others fed off them, and pretty soon, people were talking it out. The doctor sat up front, listening, quiet.
Nighttime's the worst,
Jesse added to the conversation.
The world goes still, death and darkness. That's when my mind wanders back. It always goes back. All you hear is gunfire, screams, explosions. That's what people don't get. There isn't any quiet. They just can't hear.
Someone commented. So how do you all deal?
What are you doing?
Parsons asked.
Jack off,
someone replied, earning a few chuckles.
Television, any sound but what I'm hearing.
A man behind her replied.
A bigger rec room would help. Maybe then we could all hang together until we beat the dark back.
When silence settled in the room, Mary swallowed back the lump of doubt in her throat and spoke. I don't unwind easy. I work better tense, ready to strike. Or I thought so until recently when the tension hit critical and I snapped. Dylan squeezed her hand tighter.
If you didn't unwind, what'd you do?
someone asked. I kept my mind focused on something else. When the world around me went still, I solved problems. Mental gymnastics. There was always an issue needing attention. Someone needing an X-File strategy. A hack for Intel to keep a team from having to go in. Counting backward, odd numbers, only from 999. Works when my brain really needed a rest. But I'm more geared toward that stuff. Punching stuff would probably be more fun.
You didn't shut down. You just kept working on other stuff.
Someone observed.
I get like that. Me too.
Someone commented. By the time the discussion died down and Dr. Parsons took over, Mary didn't feel as alone. The woman offered alternative ways to handle the nighttime. Now, I want all of you to hear me out before you balk at this final piece. Dr. Parsons rose. My brother was a SEAL, 6 tours before he left. When he came home, he wasn't the same man who'd left. He lost himself in a bottle, drowning out the part of the war he'd brought home. I finally talked him into getting help. I'll be honest, none of it worked. The doctors didn't understand him. I took over, hauled him to my place, and restarted. I'm not a typical doctor. I'm not going to follow established methods to handle PTSD. Each of you processes things differently. I'm a firm believer, though, that everyone will benefit from this exercise. She stooped over and opened a big box on the floor. She pulled out a small black book and pen. And before any of you smartasses ask, no, this is not a diary. What's the first thing you do when you come off a mission? Any mission?
Debrief,
Jesse offered when no one else replied. Exactly. She held the book up. These are the manliest ones around. They'll fit in rucksacks and withstand the abuse you'll give them. Your mission from this point on is to debrief your day for 20 minutes before rack time. Every single day. Whatever enters your head, write it out. 20 minutes, you'll do the same thing when you wake up. Every single day. Mary didn't think journaling would go over with the muscled warriors around her, but she admitted the approach as a debrief held potential.
You're gonna read them all?
Someone asked.
Hell no.
The firm response made a few people laugh. This is your debriefing. No one will read unless you want them to. This is for you. As a matter of fact, I don't want you reading what you write. Not yet. For now, you write things down, close the book, and move on. Don't look back, just like missions. Once you debrief, you're done. Right? You move to the next assignment. This is the same principle. Once your day ends, or your night, you move on to the next. Debrief whatever creeps into your mind about the last 12 or so hours, then forget it. She stacked piles of the notebooks and pens on a table behind her. Now, before anyone with the last name Mason mentions this, I've already considered the security complication here. So, treat this book like you would your weapon. These are your darkest, most private thoughts. Don't leave them in the fucking mess hall or in the head. I want everyone to take at least 3. I've got cases of these things. Take some for friends who may not have had the balls to walk in here. A few people chuckled. I'm leaving a case in the corner over there, under the drink station, for whenever someone wants or needs another. She scanned the room. If anyone here wants to talk privately, my doors are always open.
If you aren't ready for a one-on-one, but want feedback or to share whatever, drop your notebook in the drop chute I have on my door. My office is at the end of this hall. I'll read and comment, then return them to your secured bin. I believe you all have one.
Bin?
Mary asked Dylan quietly.
Like mailboxes. We put their personal correspondence, mission briefings, things like that in there.
Mary sat and waited as the gathered men all came forward and took several books. She rose with Jesse and Dylan when the bulk of people had left. Dr. Parsons smiled but didn't approach. She let Mary close the distance at her own pace.
Thanks, Doctor. I think that was a good start.
Dylan commented. I agree. Thank you both, Mary and Jesse. If you two hadn't spread the word you were giving this a shot, I would have been alone with myself in here. The woman smiled gently as she looked at Mary. I'll see you later. Thanks. Mary took a couple of the journals. Jesse did as well. Dylan took some too. Mary's gut tightened, wondering what monsters he needed to purge from his system. She'd been so lost in her own troubles, she hadn't considered how many he'd been fighting. The bitch Haley was trouble for sure. He'd reconciled somewhat with Dallas. But had he ever let the monsters she raised in him out? Dylan shoved the couple notebooks he'd picked up into the pocket of his cargo pants and looked around.
Wells, hold up a minute.
Mary tightened against him.
Yeah, boss.
Dallas find you?
I heard he was looking, but didn't want to miss this. Sorry, what's up?
We need your help with something. On the down low.
Dylan looked around, lowered his voice.
We got Driggs.
I heard talk about that. Glad he's off the street. What he did to those operatives wasn't cool. Leaving them out there?
Mark looked at Mary.
You did right by them, Edge.
Thanks for helping, she replied.
Anytime.
Good. We need help on coverage. He's in the detainment area, sublevel. Dallas shown you the area yet?
Dylan waited for the man to shake his head. They never let anyone down there.
Okay, find him. We need you and three men of your choosing to form a watch team. You'll take a rotation, keeping Driggs secure.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to help.
Excellent. Find Dallas.
Dylan waited until the man headed out.
That's all three of the ones Vi and Nolan thought the most viable. Cords sending their files to you. Dr. Parsons, along with several others.
I'll review them immediately, the woman promised. Whatever else I can do, let me know.
Marshall wants you involved in the questioning later,
Jesse commented.
You okay with that?
Yes, of course. Interrogations aren't my forte, but I'll help however I can. Dylan guided Mary out of the room and toward the vehicle he had waiting. He hoped getting her away from the arsenal for a while would help get her mind off everything. She deserved calm.
I hope you're hungry, sweetheart.
We're going somewhere? She looked down at her jeans and snug t-shirt. I'm not dressed for town. We went through this before, remember? Women. He didn't understand why they were so obsessed with what they wore. Didn't Mary know how beautiful she was in whatever she wore?
You're gorgeous. Come on. I promised them we wouldn't be late.
Them?
You'll see.
He smiled as he helped her into the truck. The closer they got to town, the more nervous he sensed her becoming. He knew she hadn't had good slices of Rosino yet, something he intended to rectify tonight.
Twice a year, the Burtons throw in with us, and we have a block party. Or town, one rather. That's where we're going. I promise you're safe. You'll never be out of my sight.
I'm okay. Just coming down off the therapy. Hearing everyone sharing what gets them through, what they face, it helped. I'm not alone.
No, far from it. Everyone on the compound brought back something from their time, a wound or an internal war. Some are nastier than others.
Dylan knew all about Nasty. He and all his brothers had combated internal wars. It's why they'd started Warrior's Path, to give other soldiers a leg up before they went back to civilian life.
I'm glad Jesse was there,
Mary whispered.
Not all wounds are inflicted overseas, in service.
Dylan's grip tightened on the steering wheel. He wished to hell his brother would talk to him about what happened, where his head was at.
No, they're not. Haley hurt me. Dallas got the brunt of it, though I didn't notice until recently. I'm gonna work through my thoughts on her, everything that went down. Write it out. I'd like you to read it. When you're ready.
I'd like that.
She fiddled with the end of her t-shirt.
The stuff I write, I may not be ready to share it yet.
He liked that she was thinking she would share it with him at some point.
That's okay. When and if you are, you let me know.
He smiled when she nodded. The parking lot was a nightmare, but he backed into a spot near one of the ranch trucks. Mary waited for him to walk around. His heart thudded wildly as he helped her down and settled her at his side. They were about to become fodder for the gossip mill.
Should probably warn you, sweetheart.
What?
She tightened against him, her widened gaze roaming the area.
Nothing that bad. But me and my brothers, we've never brought a woman to one of these.
He admitted.
The entire town is going to see me, your first date, to a town shindig? And I'm in ratty sneakers, jeans, and a t-shirt 2 days old.
She hissed the words.
You have a lot to learn about women and communication. I admit, I'm not girly girl, where things like my appearance mean much. But I don't want Haley and her crew cutting me up because I look like a bridge troll.
The woman seriously had no clue how gorgeous she was. To hell with telling her. He'd show her instead. He pinned her against the truck and claimed her mouth. She turned soft beneath his starved kiss. Her hands settled on his hips, dragging him forward until he pressed against her full body. He slid a thigh between her parted legs and swallowed the moan escaping her. He loved her touch, and couldn't wait until the boldness she commanded in operations replaced the hesitant slide along his body. Blood surged southward, ending in an ache he was all too familiar with when it came to Mary. She was worth the wait. He'd always been the patient brother, the one who'd wait his turn and bide his time. He'd been through the ringer before meeting Mary, and God knew she'd been through more than several rough turns. Sex wasn't an end objective. For him, it was an extension of something way more valuable, her emotional well-being and happiness. Dylan cursed and severed the kiss as someone cleared their throat. He huddled Mary closer, wedging her between the truck and his body as he turned.
If you're done mugging down and giving all of Rosino fodder for the mill tomorrow, I'm stealing your girl.
Riley motioned toward a bag she was holding.
One day you're gonna learn. A woman doesn't like these kind of surprises.
Chapter 20 Vi
Addie, Rhea, and Bree rushed Mary the moment they stepped into the small bedroom Riley had commandeered at the bed and breakfast. They stroked her face and arms and slid assessing gazes over her, as if making sure she was okay.
I'm good. Way better than I have been in a while. I'm so glad you're here. I couldn't believe when Dylan told me where he'd hauled me off to. Really, I'm worse than a bridge troll.
Shower? Now. We'll get the clothes ready.
Riley motioned toward the bathroom.
Ray and Bree are on hair and makeup.
What do I do?
Addie asked.
Whatever badasses do. Stand in the corner and be menacing or something.
Vi replied.
I'm working security. Cord helped me get cameras up. Hera is scanning the crowd.
Great idea,
Mary muttered, relieved her BFF was watching their back, even though Dylan had it more than secure. She showered and towel dried, then padded in her clean underwear into the bedroom. Rhea and Bree gasped.
What?
Honey,
Riley squeezed her shoulder.
I don't think they'd seen your back yet.
Oh, right.
She did a half turn so the exposed wounds along her once flawless back appeared in the mirror. No longer an angry red, they ran in chaotic scars. Addie's jaw twitched. Hands wrapped around her front. She studied Mary through the mirror. Vi blinked back tears from her perch on the bed.
It's okay. They don't hurt.
Not anymore.
Soldiers get medals? These are my badges of honor. The bastard didn't break me.
We're winning this war.
Damn straight, Addie replied.
Has Dylan seen them yet?
Vi asked. Mary glared at her friend through the mirror as Bree and Rhea went to work womanizing her.
Real smooth subject change there. Not subtle at all.
When have I ever been subtle?
Vi set the laptop aside.
Dish, how's it going with him?
Mary eyed Riley covertly. The woman held up her hands.
I'm a friend in here, not a sister. I won't even get wigged out if you mention all those lip locks I caught you two in. The one out by the truck was damn near explosive.
We haven't done it yet.
Of course you haven't. It's Dylan.
Riley returned quickly. He'd wait out a snowstorm in a desert in June. When you're ready, it'll be on you to let him know.
How?
She asked.
I'm not sexy and daring like Addie or you. I'm kind of a dud in bed.
The how is easy. Slip on something sexy or nothing at all. He'll take it from there,
Rhea suggested.
And don't even say you're a dud. We all have those thoughts. With the right man, you'll get fireworks. The way you and he light up with a kiss, the compound will burn down.
Heat rose in her cheeks. She hoped so. He deserved good.
I don't have anything sexy.
We'll take care of that in the morning,
Riley grinned. Retail therapy is the best. I know just the place. Hustle up. Dylan's patient, but he won't like his woman being away from his side long, not with the buzzards circling.
Dylan's woman?
Mary smiled into the mirror, admiring the rosy hue in her cheeks and the way her eyes danced with mischief.
Yeah, she liked being Dylan's woman.
Rhea and Bree finished off her hair and makeup, opting for a more natural, fresh-faced look rather than a dolled-up tramp. Her pulse quickened when she wondered what Dylan would think of her hair in a non-troll, down past her shoulders and loose state. She headed over to the bed and looked down at the clothes Vi had spread out.
Where's the rest?
her friend smirked.
As the cowgirl.
Where's the rest? She asked wryly.
Oh, that's it.
She picked up the scrap of material.
Here, let's go. I heard the speakers turn on. They're getting started.
It was a thin, stretchy scrap of material Mary wouldn't call a dress. There was no way it would fit, but she tugged it on anyway. The wonder dress hugged her curves, accentuating the swell of her breasts and generous cleavage. Then, flaring inward along her stomach, her full hips filled the dress out nicely, which swept down to end just short of mid-thigh. Snug, but sexy, right? Doubt slithered in her. Maybe she was the dolled-up tramp after all.
Tell you what, Riley said. Give it 30 minutes. If you don't feel comfortable, we'll come back and switch out. I brought something else, just in case, okay?
Okay, she whispered back. For Dylan, she'd give it a try. Hopefully he'd like it. The town square was filled when they exited the small bed and breakfast and walked down the street to enter the fray. Mary spotted Marshall, Jesse, and Nolan first. A low whistle to her side drew her attention to where Dallas and Cord angled from.
Jesus.
Mary's heart thundered wildly as she turned in the direction of Dylan's voice. The women moved, leaving her standing alone as he closed the distance. His heated gaze slid from her to the area behind, then around her. Doubt crawled into her chest and squeezed tight.
What's wrong?
She whispered.
Is it okay? Riley has another.
It's not that, Mary. I'm thinking little brother's wondering how much trouble he'd get into if he hauled you away and forgot about the dance.
Nolan commented.
Or gave the townsfolk a real show.
Marshall replied. Dylan placed both hands on her waist. His gaze swept across her once more.
You're so beautiful, Mary. I'm never getting through the night with you in that dress.
I can change, she offered.
Don't you dare,
he muttered.
Come on, I need a beer to cool down.
Anticipation tingled along her skin. Dylan liked the dress. He needed to cool down. Empowered by the reaction, she wrapped an arm possessively around his middle and laughed. This was an excellent surprise. 2 hours later, Mary decided laughter was the best medicine. Cord whispered the comment an hour ago when he and Dylan escorted her onto the dance floor, and she got her first taste of the Mason brothers relaxed. Dancing. It should be a crime against humanity that every female in the world couldn't enjoy watching the six brothers on the dance floor. Every female in the square drooled. Lost in the moment, in Dylan's arms, she laughed and danced nonstop. From one brother to another to another. The only one who'd left the dance floor was Dallas. Her gut clenched, and anger rose when she saw the blonde whore smirking from the sidelines. Haley. She flashed a toothy, gummy smile and waved across the room at Dallas, who looked like he'd puke if given half a chance. Oh, hell no. Anger rode Mary hard as she kissed Dylan's cheek and headed across the packed dance floor. Half of Rosino halted their dancing and watched as she made her way toward Dallas, just as Haley sidled up to him.
Hey, lover, miss me?
The blonde slid a hand down his chest. Mary watched a second, then grabbed her hand as it slid past his belt.
I warned you once. Don't touch them. Ever.
What? So now he's yours?
I admit he's way better than Dylan, but you aren't woman enough to keep them both.
Is this what the problem was? You two wanted to share me?
Haley looked at Dallas, then Dylan, who'd come to stand behind Mary.
I'm afraid that's just too weird for me.
I'm going to talk real slow with small words so you understand me. Mary growled loudly. Leave Dylan, Dallas, and everyone else with the last name Mason alone. They aren't your play toys.
It's not any of your business, whoever you are.
Haley smiled her gummy smile.
Dylan understands, don't you, baby? You just weren't man enough to keep me happy. While Dallas here was almost too much for me to handle.
The bitch.
I'm sorry about the baby. I'm ready to try again whenever you are.
She whispered up at Dallas. The man was frozen in place, a statue locked in whatever torment she'd awaken. Rage flashed through Mary. She thought the bitch violated Dylan by groping him. Whatever she'd done to Dallas was far, far worse.
Riles, don't.
Marshall growled.
Let me go,
Riley ordered.
No, I've got this.
Mary gritted out. She grabbed the woman's wrist again. You see the brunette over there? The one shooting daggers at you? She waited until the woman looked, noted the widened expression. That's Addie. Her older brother was the best operative in the covert world, knew 1,000 different ways to kill a man with a pen. Mary raised her voice, lilted it with amusement.
He taught her everything he knew.
Mary shoved Haley away from Dallas. She rocked back on her platform heels a couple seconds. I've had a really shitty few weeks, so I'll make this quick. If I see you near Dylan, Dallas, or any of the Masons, I'll sic Addie on you. By the time she's done with you, you'll be begging for whatever fucked up drugs you loaded into him so you could get your way. Gasps echoed around her. He's man enough to let people have their say. He won't ever call you on the shit you pulled, but I am.
Right here, right now.
I warned you, bitch. Told you to back off. But you came at him, dragged my man into your drama. You want a scene? Fine, you have one.
You're crazy, Haley spat. Drugged? Is that how you get your men? I'm not surprised. How else would they handle fucking your fat ass?
My friend over there knows 1,000 ways to kill with a pen. Me? I know 10,000 ways to trap idiots like you. When I figured out your plays, how you snared Dylan, then used him to get an in with Dallas, I dug, rooted through the muck of your life, and found the trail.
You're crazy,
she repeated. Maybe. But you know what? Haley took a step back. Mary prowled forward.
I got bored this morning, waiting for my man. I followed the trail.
You weren't worth the bother before, but when I got wind of what you did to Dallas, I made you worth it. You stupid, stupid cow. Using Daddy's credit cards wasn't smart, but I guess useless, jobless, spoiled brats like you don't have anything but the plastic you either inherit or earn on your back.
She's crazy. Get her away from me.
Haley's voice rose over the silenced crowd.
That was a big order, Haley. Who else have you been drugging? Or is that first cousin of yours supplying others? I'm going to keep digging, following the trail. I'm going to find every single speck of dirt you left in your wake. That's what I do.
You're gonna wish I unleashed Addie on you when I'm done.
Mary glared at the bitch a moment longer, then glanced at the man behind her.
Get her the hell away from me before I get angry.
She noted Dallas's tense body and realized she'd spew his secret to the town. Gutted Haley by exposing something not hers to share. She settled a hand on his jaw.
I'm sorry, Dallas. Sorry, she did that. And sorry I couldn't hold my tongue.
He smiled at her, hesitant, but sincere. His blue eyes glimmered with moisture.
That was kind of hot. You going after her?
Come on, let's dance.
You've got a good woman there,
Brant commented as he settled beside Dylan on the side of the dance floor. Mary had danced with Dallas nonstop the past 8 songs. Sooner or later, he'd have to haul her off so she'd hydrate. Shoes kicked off, bare feet on the wood floor, she was a sexy, laughing sprite. The blue dress accentuated the sparkle in her gaze as it settled on him. Her full lips painted a dusty rose, which matched the heat creeping up her cheeks. His cock swelled as he watched her lush ass sway in that dress. Dallas kept a safe distance between them. His gaze swept to Dylan often, as if gauging his acceptance of them continuing.
Yeah, she's a special woman. Make sure she takes some time away, steps back enough to breathe easy. Yeah. Once we get her situation settled, she and I are going to look into a few things. Riley's concerned about Rochelle. We're looking into Marvel. Something's up. You heard anything? No, but I've seen some strange stuff. More and more people coming into the clinic I started. The one where visits are free and I don't keep things on record. For undocumented workers, right? Originally, yes. Lately, we've had a lot of others coming in for stitches, setting bones, a few concussions. On their own, it'd be accidents. Too many accidents happening. You have any names? Afraid I can't say. Marville's where you want to be, not Rosino.
Brant said.
Careful. Still waters run deep over there. You start stirring up trouble, it's likely to bolt. What do you suggest? Stir, but let someone else settle. I figure you've got enough folks at the compound. A man, woman. Couple moves into Marvel. Easy enough to explain away with the oil fracking craze.
Brant shrugged.
We've got a couple rental properties there. You need one? Let me know. Appreciate it, man.
He wanted Mary home, in his bed. Though he knew most everyone at the dance, enough strangers lurked to keep him and his brothers on edge. The oil fracking craze, which had taken over Marvel, left the entire area filled with new people.
Hey,
Mary whispered, playfully as she wound her arms around him.
I've had at least 12 women tell me I landed a good man, one of the best around.
Oh, really? He's a lucky guy.
Dylan smiled.
You okay with being his man?
Oh, yeah. He's a real good dancer.
She kissed along the column of his throat.
You know what they say, right?
What's that?
He asked.
That means he's great in bed.
Mary nibbled his earlobe. Pleasure shot straight to his cock.
Let's go test that theory.
How much have you had to drink?
Just some of the punch.
She hiccuped and giggled.
Jesus.
Dylan put a hand on her back and guided her toward the truck.
Let's go home.
Riley's taking us shopping tomorrow, so I can buy something sexy to wear to sleep in.
She whispered to his throat.
I know you probably like lace and stuff, but do you know what I really want?
He shifted uncomfortably, willing his thoughts somewhere other than her soft skin covered in lace.
I love sleeping in your shirts. They're really sexy. Knowing they're yours, which means I am too. I have the right to be in one, not that Haley cow.
She hoisted herself into the truck, then turned and smiled down at him.
Do you have one of the collared ones with buttons and a long tail?
I always thought that'd be sexy to wear. All buttoned up for you to unwrap like a present.
Or leave draped open so you could touch and kiss and stuff.
Jesus. Dylan angled her head down and claimed her mouth. Fire spread, an out-of-control need to have her beneath him, in bed. He severed the kiss before he forgot where they were. The drive home was painful. She hummed and sang to herself, whispering whatever notions ran through her head. Fuck, he should stay away. She was drunk. He ran drills in his head, recited the alphabet backward, and then started in on the odd numbers. By the time he made it to the triple digits, he'd angled the vehicle to a park near the building entry. She settled at his side as they headed in. She dragged him forward.
Dylan?
Yeah, sweetheart.
I promise I'm not that drunk. I just had a really good night and I'm happy.
She blinked up at him. The intensity in her gaze made his body throb.
Please make love to me. I need you.
Please?
He was the lowest son of a bitch for even thinking about it, but he couldn't imagine saying no. Not when the fire in her gaze matched his. Not when he noted the doubt and nervousness snaking across her face.
You're mine, Mary. I'm not a horny, pimply-faced hormone on two legs. I swear, I can wait however long you need.
Please, I want you. I need to have you. Be yours fully.
She tugged his shirt from his jeans and kissed the exposed skin above his waist. Chapter 21. Muscles bunched and flexed beneath her lips as she kissed a trail up and along the hard ridges of Dylan's stomach. He removed the shirt and tossed it beside them, then took over. The man was a god of kissing. Mary ground herself against him and whimpered when he slowed the pace to an agonizing meander, rather than the harried progression the hunger in her demanded.